the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, after 1 week off, it is a huge welcome to the Parramatta's podcast. You're with Barry and Bernie tonight. Jono is on the bench. He's actually moving. I think he's packing up a house and he's moving. I think he's being swamped by all the fans, all the females knocking on his door because they heard on this podcast that he is the sexiest man from Emerald in 2008. But I am joined by my good friend Bernie tonight. Bernie, how are you, buddy?
Good, mate. Good. I think Jono's not only on the bench, he's moving the bench. So he's relocating. He's been kicked out of his house. And or maybe he bought a house. Maybe he's getting all the profits from the podcast. And, and we just don't know what he's been up to with his solo rants that we saw last week, which I thought was brilliant. But maybe he's found the cash loophole and he's bought up big up there in Mackay, mate.
We can only hope so. Now, I do apologise for last week. There was no show. At the last minute, I had to go to Townsville with the Army Reserves. So that's pretty much on me. And again, I do apologise for that, but I had to go.
What did I have? I can't even remember why.
Had a VIP night.
Yes, I did at work. Had a VIP night. I had to go and meet some very famous cinematographers, which was a lot of fun. I didn't quite get the... It was funny because I just did the normal thing where I just went and spoke to the people I already know and just hang out with them. Yeah. I should have gone and spoke to some of the people I didn't know, but I just like hanging with mates and there was free beer and pizza. So I couldn't turn up for the podcast.
Yep, no, totally fair. Now, of course, on Friday night, we played the Penrith Panthers, the Derby, the Battle of the West. And for the second time this year, we defeated the reigning premiers.
I think we fucking flogged them is what we did.
Like
we defeated is letting them off a little bit lightly. I think we absolutely crushed them. And it was a good game to watch. Well, the first half anyway, the second half a little bit on the boring side, but the first half was 10 out of 10.
And one of the sad things was, and I'm sure we'll get to the tackle a little bit later, but we were on top of them while Cleary was on the field. And so the fact that he got sent off, You cannot, if you are an honest observer of that match, go, Penrith was winning until Cleary went off, because that was not the case whatsoever. We were up on the scoreboard and we had the momentum and I'm sure it had some impact because obviously he's got such a phenomenal kicking game and he obviously leads the team around the field, but we were certainly on top of them with him on the field, no doubt.
Yeah, see, I go the other way with that one. I 100% agree with you. We were on top and they're all bitching and moaning saying that the only reason we won was because Cleary got sin bin, sent
bullshit.
Off.
Fucking bullshit.
Total bullshit. But not only that, I 100% believe Cleary shits the bed when Luai's not there because he tries to play a bit more flamboyantly and it's just not him. So I honestly, we could see it. He was shitting the bed already. Yeah. He was like, they scored the early try. Well, the replacement Luai did, whoever the hell that chucklehead was. Jeez. Yep. He's jumping up and down like a fucking chucklehead. I felt like smacking him around already. I hate him. I don't even know who he is. Yeah, I thought that Cleary was not dominating the game at all. We were getting on top. It was a stupid tackle that he did. It was almost like he wanted out of the game. I know that he didn't, but it was almost like he went, I don't want to be here. Here you go. This is my, way out. I'm not suggesting he did it on purpose or anything, but it just seemed to be he couldn't wait to get off the field. Don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly didn't hurt our chances from that point forward. And obviously, at the end of the first half, it was 30-4. So, we just pulled a clinic on them in that first half. And I can remember thinking at the time, but still, we'll turn around and lose to Manly next week. we'll just do something fucking ridiculous where we're up and down. So, as I was away in the Army, I also was away for the Dummy M podcast. Now, when Jono and my co-host T-Dog and I, we all went to Magic Round together, we recorded two extra episodes because I knew I was going to be away with the Army later in the year. And in the first podcast, I was listening to it yesterday, and this is back in May, I believe, and I'm like going, yeah, but, you know, we'll beat these people, and then we'll do something fucking stupid like lose to the Bulldogs. And sure enough, that's exactly what we did. So we're going to win one, lose one, win two, lose one. We're just going to sort of hover around that sixth place spot. We'll be up one week, down the next. Because it infuriates me. When you talk about that Penrith player who needed a punch in the head, our boys need a punch in the head. I'm so sick and tired of hearing them do two things. One, go, oh, we just need to turn up every week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, who fucking doesn't know that? Who the fuck doesn't know that? Why are you collecting money every week if you don't know that? And two, why aren't you then doing it? Why are we having this same discovery every 2 weeks of, oh, we didn't try today? Are you motherfuckers? What is going on?
You know, there was a lot of rumors going around that we were going to sign David Clemmer. And there was even, they go as far as to say that it was a done deal, but he wanted not just the end of this year, he wanted a couple of years, and $800,000 a year, he's not worth that for the next 2 years. And I agree with passing on him, but I would love to have him in the team this week going in against Manly because there's so much fire in that guy. Mm. And Nathan Brown had a lot of fire in him as well. He seemed to lose a bit of it, but we just need a few players that have a bit of venom in them to spark the team. Now, we don't have any of those players. Mm. I honestly think if we had signed David Clemmer, it would have been a masterstroke for the rest of the year because he's so pissed off at the moment. And now the Knights have stood him down because he's too fiery. We need a bit of fire. We've got the skill. We just need the motivation. And it does my head in, but it does all of our heads in. But we're playing Manly at Brookvale. I'm not going to call it Four Pines or whatever the fuck it is. We're playing them at Brookvale after their stupid, what rainbow gate, what are they calling it? The jersey, you know, they wouldn't wear the jersey with the rainbow on it.
Okay, let's get to that later because I want to pick up on your point about signing Clement. Go back to the start of the year, there was talk of Curtis Scott was going to come into our team. And I was in favour of that because he's a biffer. Mm. He wants to fight. We need someone in there. And this is a point I was making to Jono 2 weeks ago, is that consider this. You stand Paulo and Gutho down and you make Moses captain because Moses has got the fire. Moses is a competitor. You know, when Gutho was thinking about a couple of years ago, was thinking about they were on the, you know, like the 15, 20 meter line and they were thinking about, oh, do we go for a try or do we go for two? And Moses just barges right in and he comes up to Gutho. He's like, no, Gutho, fuck off. We're going for the try. That's what you need. Like,
Paulo, 100% it is.
Paulo and Gutho, you could literally put them in. And don't get me wrong, great players, love the guys. But you can put them in Hawaiian shirts. They're just, they're the Matthew McConaughey of the Parramatta Eels. They're fucking stoners in the sense of they're just so chilled. I'm not saying they're drug users.
No.
But they're so laid back.
I'm sure Gutho is, but Gutho's got stoner written all over him, mate. He's way too chilled.
I think he's just a space monkey. Like, you watch the press conferences and BA's talking. And he's like looking around at the ceiling.
I know.
He's just.
And he's always scratching himself. He's sitting there scratching, looking around, and he's sniffing. And then he finally gets asked a question. He looks up like, what?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Right. But so I was a fan of the idea of Curtis Scott coming in because I want someone who's going to knuckle on. I want someone who's going to get up the front. You can't tell me that for all the bad press and for all the times he visits the judiciary, that JWH isn't a boon to the Roosters.
Yeah, he totally is. And it's the same with Arse of a Salamander for fucking Storm. Like
Arsehole Salamander.
he just brings that venom and you've got to have it. It's a physical sport. And if you see your guys going in, you know, ripping heads off, I can't remember who it was, but the Sharks player who almost killed someone bloody ripping his head off. Who the hell was that? Anyway, I can't remember, but he came in with a flying tackle and they proved it to be legal, but you just need, that's why they got Fifita still in the team because he has that venom in him.
Yeah.
He can only play like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, but when he comes on, he just charges that team, you know, fully. That, yeah. It's like a battery charger. He comes on and everyone lifts, everyone gets behind him. And we don't have that play. And I agree with you about Mitch. Mitch has that venom.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he has to apologize to Gutho, because Gutho turns to him and says, I'm the captain. Like, just settle down. You know, I'm the captain. And, you know, that's what the captain's supposed to do. But Mitch, he's ready to lead the team. And I'd be fine with him being handed the captaincy, you know, solo captaincy. This is your team. Do something, you know. And he would. Because he had to calm himself down the last few years. He was going a little bit over the top. Getting a little bit aggro. But I prefer a little bit aggro over a little bit placid any day, mate.
100%. Any day. 100%. Yeah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there were two bits to his backstory with the Tigers. He called someone a cunt on the field, and he called someone a faggot. Like, he's just that charged up dude. He's just...
Did he? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Or, and it could have been, hey, you faggot cunt. It could have all been boxed in together.
It could have boxed into one thing.
However, obviously, those are two highly charged words that... Yes. evoke a certain emotional response, and obviously he got into a little bit of trouble with that before he came to Parramatta. So yeah, I can understand that he's needed to mature that little bit, but the reality is, and again, you know, we've talked about it on this show so many times, is that one of the areas that BA completely lacks in is motivating the team.
Yeah.
And we need someone, and it's not Paulo and it's not Gutho, to actually be that guy who fires them up. And so I would love to see it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I doubt very much that it would, but I'd love to see that as a change in our team.
Yeah, I agree. It's not going to happen, but I think what happened at halftime, normally at halftime, the coach gets in and goes, you know, he charges the team up. He's the battery charger. I think at halftime against Penrith, I'm guessing that BA got in and said, we don't want to lose from here, boys. Just play the sensible game. But if you notice, the very first tackle, the very first hit up of the game, Madison was looking to offload the ball with two guys holding onto him within our own 10 meters. Mm. Like, I think it was the opposite to start the game. He went, you know what? Go out there, throw the ball around, chance our arm. It's the only way we're going to beat Penrith. We're not going to beat them in a structured contest.
Mm.
Our strength is, you know, off the cuff stuff. And it worked. Yeah. And I'm 100% convinced that he revoked that privilege for the second half, and that's why we got the result that we did in the second half. Now, let's not let the second half take away from the first half, because it was an absolute brilliant performance in the first 40 minutes. It scares me, because I'm just like, that's how good our team can be.
That's right. That's right.
That's our firepower. That's our 100%. Okay. We shouldn't be under 80%. 80% of that is going to be, you imagine 80% of that versus the Bulldogs. Now, the Bulldogs have kind of rebuilt ever since they beat us. They're a different team now.
Yeah, we played them back into form.
We brought them back into form. The Tigers, we kind of brought them back into form. We tried to. Yeah. They're starting to play a bit better now too. But we've got another game coming up against the Bulldogs in a couple of weeks. I really want to see us flatten that team. I really want to see BA get us up for that game and say, they embarrassed us. We need to get up and absolutely smash this team. And once again, if we had Clemmer in the team to do that against his old team, I was so excited when I heard Clemmer was maybe going. Even Marty Tapau. Like, now, I know that Marty Tapau is at the end of his career, but he's a firebrand. He brings the fire. And I think that he would spark us as well. So we missed out on both of those. I don't know what's going on, you know, with all these rumors pop up and we just don't seem to be signing anyone. All the rumors of people leaving the team seem to be true, but rumors of people joining the team. And I bring up the Pangai Jr. last year, that Panthers got Pangai Jr. just for the end of the season. And he turned up and he gave us a flogging in, you know, the finals. So how come we can't get any of these? It's two players from the Tigers have gone to play for the Storm for the rest of the year because the Tigers can't make the final.
Yeah.
How come we don't get any of these players? How come no one's coming to us? There's something going on that people don't want to be coming to our team, and it's a little bit scary considering the firepower that we've got on the field.
Yeah, because realistically, if someone sat down and crunched the numbers, that the conversation that we're having, if they realise, you know what, I'm the guy to actually bring the heat, and we would then have a legitimate chance of actually winning the premiership. So if I'm going to go anywhere, Parramatta might be a good bet. So as you say, we just, it's all smoke, but there's no fire.
You look, I'm convinced someone's aware of it there, because you look, the last three rumours was Matthew Lodge. Matthew Lodge was rumoured to be coming to us, an absolute mental case. You know, and then you've got David Clemmer, Marty Tapau, all of them loose units, all of them absolute spark plugs. Someone's picking up the fact that we're missing something there. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I don't know how we do it. We definitely, Nathan Brown, I thought was the answer. Like he always, whenever he came on, our forwards always got a burst of energy.
Mm.
And I don't know why all of a sudden we were talking about his ankle. Like we thought maybe that was what's happened. But there seems to be no re-entry point for Nathan Brown now. It seems to be that he's out of the team. I want Werimer Greg to come in. I think that he's got the fire brand in him. He's got the spark plug attitude. I would bring him in. A youngster, we're going to be using him for the next few years. Give him some bloody experience at the end of the year going into next year. We don't want him being without experience for next year. We want him to get some experience. So if we're not buying any of these old hotheads, why not bring in our own young hothead who came from the Cowboys? And the only reason the Cowboys let him go is because they got two of the best young forwards in the game at the moment.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not like they let him go because he's a dud. Werimer Greg is a great player of the future. I just want him to have some experience going into next year.
But I mean, go back to the beginning of the year. I certainly didn't wish the guy ill will. I had nothing against the guy. So when Ray Stone was out for the season, I know people were upset about that, but I'm like, why? He wasn't getting a run.
He's a spark plug.
No, but he wasn't getting a run, is my point. Yeah. He's like Werimer Greg. It's like we've got this great guy who the Dolphins can see his potential because they've signed him. You know, the Dolphins can see Maddow's potential because they offered him the captaincy. And what do they do in our team? They languish in the New South Wales Cup, or they get on the bench, they get 2 minutes of game time, if they're lucky. So
yeah, that's insane.
Oh, dude, it's fucking, as you know, it's head scratching.
The Parramatta's podcast for true Eels fans everywhere.
There's something else we've got to talk about. You know, we got to go there. But once again, Jake Arthur's in the team.
Mm.
Now, the fact the kid got booed was an absolute disgrace because he did nothing wrong.
Correct.
He did absolutely nothing wrong. He's turned up week in, week out. Now, he should not have been put at six and Dilbag push to centres. And that was what we were bitching and moaning about.
Yeah.
We were saying that's, and the other thing I've been bitching and moaning about is the fact if you're going to put him on the bench and only play him for 2 minutes, I'd rather him be in the reserves playing a full 80 minutes at halfback just in case Mitch Moses breaks a finger at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we've got Jake thrown. He's been thrown to the Wolves again because he has not been playing halfback.
Yep.
He's been playing a hooker.
Yeah.
And he got injured as well. So he's, first of all, he's coming into the team at seven. He's got a sternum injury and he hasn't been playing seven. He hasn't been playing full 80 minutes. So he's going to be undercooked. And now he's got to play 80 minutes at halfback with an injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not doing his son any favours. Oh, I mean, we'll get behind him 100%. And everyone was pissed off about him getting booed when he's, you know, because it was just his picture came up on the screen and everyone booed.
Yeah.
I understand where it came from because everyone was pissed off with the reshuffle, but it's just targeted incorrectly.
I couldn't agree more. When BA's name gets announced each week, that's when people should be booing. That's the point when they should be booing because he created that entire problem. And you may have noticed that the sting that is accompanying this episode says, the Parramatta's podcast for true Eels fans everywhere. Because true Eels fans can criticise the team and still love it. You know, like you do sit-ups, you do push-ups, you push your body and it hurts and it aches because that helps you improve. And that's the thing about criticism. Constructive criticism helps you improve. And BA created that entire problem. And if you don't like this, Ray Price was even saying, what the hell's going on? Why would you push Dylan Brown out of that position? It makes no sense. And if anyone wants to come at me with, well, we had injuries. Yeah, we did. But you didn't have to, with the players we had, push Dylan Brown out of that position. You didn't. No one needed to make that call. That was fucking ridiculous. And it's totally on BA. And it's hurt Jake Arthur. Now,
it's also hurt Dylan Brown. because he was just starting to really fire at number six.
Oh,
and then he gets pushed into the centers and it completely threw him off his progression at number six.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It was such an insane decision.
Oh, but this guy is fucking full of them. He's just full of these crazy fucking decisions. Yeah. And you just, as you know, as we always say, it's head scratching of like, why would you do this? Why? Mm. And the fact that he is the son of the coach makes it worse. Like, imagine going, oh, I'm going to take an informed Cameron Munster and I'm going to move him out of position because, you know, Craig Bellamy Jr. Wants to have a run. The Melbourne fans would fire up over that. And rightly
Any
so.
Any fans would fire
and
up.
Rightly so. But the thing that I'm actually liking now is that he gets a shot at redemption. And
he does.
I believe, even though he's injured, he wants to come back and he wants to prove himself. Because I was reading in the paper today that I think someone like Paul Kent said, I know of a few clubs who would take Jake Arthur in a heartbeat. So if the Eels fans keep this up, Jake can always just go somewhere else. And that'll just be another player of ours heading that way. Because you made the point that he's going to grow into a great player, provided he's in the right spot practicing that role. And what's he doing now? Not that. Yeah. Fucking hell, BA.
I know. He has done him no fair. We equate a lot of shit to fighting. And it's like, it's honestly like saying, okay, I've got a fight coming up. I'm going to go practice my swimming. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like you're a halfback is a halfback. If you want him to be the hooker for next year, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm fine with that. But don't flick the kid from halfback to hooker to bench 2 minutes. It does my head in because I think he's going to be a good game. And if Kent's saying that other teams would take Jake Arthur, they would, but they wouldn't take him for first grade. They would take him and then they would like, because he can see the potential of the kid. He's a footballer.
He
fits in there somewhere. We're just not sure whether it's going to be at hooker or whether it's going to be at halfback. But he was supposed to be the backup halfback in case Mitchell got injured at the end of the year, which is exactly what happened. Yeah. And it happens every year. Mitchell has to, you know, he's done his back, he's done his calf, and he sat on the bench for 4 or 5 weeks. That's when Jake's supposed to come in, and we'll get behind the kid like we did when he made his debut, 100%. And if you fuck up at halfback, I don't care because you haven't pushed dill bags to, you know, anywhere.
Yeah.
You haven't you're there trying your best representing our club, and everyone would get behind that no matter what you did. You could drop the ball 10 times and everyone would be like, oh, well, he's, you know, filling in for Mitch, doing the best he can.
Yeah.
No one would say shit apart from anything positive. So I really hope he has a great game. I really want to beat Manly. I think Manly's about to self implode because of this whole thing.
Yeah.
There's rumors that they're in fighting still over the jersey, but beating Manly at Brookvale is hard. It's hard to beat them down there.
Yeah.
So we saw even with seven of their players missing, they only lost by 10 points to the Roosters.
Yeah.
And so they're going to come to fight. Now I just want to see Jake have a good game.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to see him do anything spectacular, but I want to see Dillbags grab the reins a little bit here because he's got the experience now. He's had a few years under his collar. I want to see him take on the kicking. I'm excited by this game. I think it's going to be a great game. Once again, I wouldn't bet any money on it. I bet on us beating the Panthers because I had a feeling that we were going to absolutely step up to them.
Mm.
Not so much with this game. It's going to be a close one. And, you know, once again, Brookies, it's hard to get a win over there. And I think Daly Cherry Evans is playing out of his skin at the moment. He has the ability to tear a team apart at the moment. So it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. Now, since you brought it up, let's talk about the jersey saga. What did you make of it? I mean, I certainly would offer before you even begin that there's kind of been a few sort of segments to it. There's been stages of it. So when it first happened, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think same as everyone. I just thought it's ridiculous. I thought first of all, for them to say they're going to take a religious stance against homosexuality is basically what they're saying, but they're not going to take a religious stance against betting. It's hypocritical, and I hate hypocrites. If you're going to go out there and blanket policy everything and say, I'm not going to wear a sports bet jersey or a points bet, whatever the hell it is. I just think it's insane. If you're going to take that stance against one thing for religion, now this is my own personal opinion and everyone's different. But then later it came out that they said they felt ambushed. They felt like they weren't consulted. Yeah. And maybe if they were consulted, they would have gone on board and they would have had the opportunity to go, I'm going to jump on board and I'm going to support this. But I think they felt ambushed. And I think what happens in every team, you get a senior player who leads the way with this and then the junior players follow. Because there's no way in hell, I think, even for religious stands, some of those juniors would have said, I'm not playing unless they had support of the senior players. And that's good that they had support of senior players. You don't want youngsters to be thrown out there. But I just think what they were taking a stance against, especially since Ian Roberts, you know, was, I think he was the first NRL player to come out as homosexual. And he was such a, he was one, it was funny because when I was growing up, you know, you're growing up and you're just kind of like we grew up in the 80s where, you know, it was, you call someone gay and it didn't actually mean gay. Yeah, it's just, you're a gay lord, you know, so it just gay. Didn't mean that.
Yeah.
And when he came out as gay, and I remember thinking, oh, I didn't know that gay people could play football. You know what I mean? Like, you're young and you just think stupid things like that. Yeah. But he was such, he was groundbreaking what he did because people would call him, you know, names on the field he'd punch him in the nose, like there's a couple of famous incidents of him breaking people's noses.
Yeah. One guy tried to sue him because the shame of being beaten up by a gay guy, like people just gave him a lot of shit about it.
It was Gary Jack. I think Gary Jack from Balmain. Yeah. He tried to sue him for beating the crap. There was a Panthers player too that he beat up. I can't remember who it was. I remember thinking, oh, there's, you know, gay people can play football. Gay people can fight. Gay people can, he looked like a monster. You know, he didn't, you know, and I just remember at the time, it was such a ballsy thing for him to do. And I just don't think that his club has supported him through this whole thing. You know, I feel for him. I feel for, it's just, it was dumb. It was just dumb. So, the whole thing was dumb. You got to plan these things and give the team a year or something to say, you know, this is what we're doing halfway through the year. You know what I mean? Like, just give them a bit of heads up and plan around it. I don't know.
So
what do you think?
So for me, the club certainly in the execution of it got it wrong. And, you know, there's been cases before where the Indigenous round comes up and the Indigenous players in a particular team don't even get input into their own jersey. And when that comes out in the media, the club's got to backtrack it and go, so I think they sort of went into that with the best of intentions, but they didn't consult the players, which was a mistake. But I'm going to offer a counter narrative here because I don't feel the same way you do, and it's okay to disagree, and that's one of the things that people have forgotten these days. But gay people are fighting against people putting them down, and then people are then turning around and putting a different group down. So to me, the thing that always irks me is that we haven't learned a thing. We haven't grown at all as a society, as a species. We just simply, every couple of generations, we just switch out who the target group is. And the thing that fucking annoys me about this bullshit misuse of the word inclusion, if you want to be inclusive, then you have to include Christians in the conversation. So don't sit there and then suddenly go, years ago, gay people weren't allowed to do this. Well, now we're going to make it so the Christians aren't allowed to do it. It's like, so you're the same fuckwit that was there 30 years ago. You're just the fuckwit today. You know, it annoys the hell out of me because you have to, I hate the fact that we've reached this point where you just can't have a conversation with someone who has a different opinion. Those guys had a different opinion. That's okay. You know, I have no problem with that. It was really the club's fault. They kind of set them up for failure in that sense. And hey, I voted yes on the plebiscite. I voted for gay. That's not an issue whatsoever. And don't cuss out there try and fucking twist my words here because that's not what I'm saying. But don't sit there and go, I believe in inclusion, but you're not allowed an opinion. That's bullshit. So anyway, I've just left a fair bit of my opinion on the editing room floor there, which is fine, but all these snowflakes out there who don't want to hear a different point of view. So and we want to keep the show going, so I'll keep my opinions to myself. Now, but I gave Bernie a good laugh and a bit of a scare at the same time.
So, yeah, just a little bit.
So, Bernie, prediction for the game on the weekend?
Oh, I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to come down. I predict we're going to lose by 1 point. I think Daly Cherry Evans is going to get a field goal to get them the victory because he's a giraffe neck asshole. And I think that But he's a great player. He is a great player, and he leads the team around. I think without Mitch being there, we're going to be a bit like headless chooks. I really do think that Mitch brings the organisation, the structure. Now, if Mitch is off his game to start with, if he's flippant and flying the ball around, throwing the ball into the back of the Iceman's head on the first play, it sets the tone for our whole game. And if he grabs the team by the scruff of the neck and drags them around at the start, we inevitably win. Without him, I think we're going to struggle. I really do think we're going to just be running around. I can see on the fifth tackles, be it not getting any set restarts and the kicks. You know, it's going to be a frustrating game to watch.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a close game because I don't think Manly have much cohesion either. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we're coming off a big win, but, you know, Parramatta, that doesn't mean anything. I know that they're lacking cohesion at the moment, but at the same time, those are the type of moments that can also galvanize a team. So, and plus, it's crisis opportunity for some players. They're seeing, hang on, if these other players are kicking up a stink and they're out of sorts, I might get a spot here. So I'm predicting Manly are going to win this one, just really based on our win one, lose one performance that we've been doing this year. I think Jake will be very workmanlike and he'll be very professional. And stop booing him, people. Boo BA. BA is the one who makes all these dumb fuck decisions. It's not Jake. Yeah. And I had a guy on Facebook this week, kind of pissed me off. And he was like, oh, you know, do you think we'll make the finals? And I said, no. I think we're this was before the Penrith game. I said, we're trending south. We're almost out of the top eight. And this guy comes in and he goes, he didn't say fuck, but he said F off. And he went, oh, why don't you F off and go and follow Manly? I bet you're the type of guy who booed Jake Arthur. And I'm like, but there I am just pointing out logic of, well, we're on a downward spiral. We're going down. We're now at seventh. And had we have lost to the Panthers, we'd be eighth. And so I was just making a point. And there's that fan going, you're not a true fan. It's like, the fuck I'm not. I'm here leading this podcast, you know, with a guy who's wearing a Parramatta jersey on a Wednesday night at almost 9 o'clock at night. So fuck off.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm. It's one of my most, I absolutely hate people jumping in, going, just support the team blindly. Like, we do support the team. You can't say, you can say you're an asshole for saying something bad about the team,
sure,
but don't say we're not fans, because otherwise, I don't get involved in, you know, Brittany and Justin Timberlake debates. Like, I don't get involved in that kind of shit. You know why? Because I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a fucking podcast about Brittany.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. The reason that we do this is because we're passionate about Parramatta.
Yeah.
And when we see something from our years of experience watching football, how much experience have you got coaching? None. How much experience you got watching? Shit ton. Yeah. I've watched a shit ton of football. Yep. I have a lot of fucking knowledge when it comes to watching football. And that's what I'm commenting on, I have just seen. I'm not commenting on what I have control over. I'm commenting on what I don't have control over. So it annoys the shit out of me when the people, oh, you've never coached a team. It annoys me.
Point I made back to him, and it silenced him because he never picked up the thread, was, okay, let's just say your child turns to hard drugs.
Yeah.
Are you not going to criticize them? Are you not going to go, you could be making better choices here. You need to pull your socks up. You need to not do this. You need to do something different. Of course you are, because you love them and you want them to have good choices and a good life. And we want our team to win. This is the year for our team. And unfortunately, decisions have been made all the way through this year that have made it very difficult for us to win it from this point.
After seeing what we did to the Panthers, I'm back on track that we can win, whether or not we will or not. You know, as I said, I've watched a lot of football. I don't even know what that means.
The king of wishful thinking.
Well, we've got the team. If we can...
We do. We don't have the coach, though. I've been saying it all year.
Yeah, but maybe the team could just do it themselves. I don't know.
I hope you're right. But it's the inconsistency and the dumb fuckery from the coach's box that I just think, he's the handbrake to that team succeeding. Nothing against him. Nice guy. He's very calm. He seems like a good dude. But unfortunately, his track record of 10 years, no premiership appearance, then...
Yeah. But he's so close. Like, why does he leave a player on the bench
for
78 minutes? Why does he? What benefit does that serve anyone?
Anyway, buddy, don't forget to catch me on the Dummy M with my mate T-Dog. We pick three dumb sports stories every week to decide who the biggest dummy of the week is. It's not the Dally M, it's the Dummy M. and you can check it out on all major podcasting platforms. But we always end our show the same way, mate, and we say, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
The Parramatta's Podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.